Amen. As Roy prayed that, you might have been thinking, that sounds awfully familiar. And it should be because it's Psalms 1. Something phenomenal has been happening on Saturday night during prayer. And it's just been touching our hearts. No one directed it other than the Holy Ghost. But as we pray, people have just been quoting the Word of God. Just someone would stand up and say, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Someone would say, Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19, and these would all be different voices all over the congregation. What we're doing is we're lifting up His Word as our prayer. Jeremiah 2 says God watches over His Word to perform it, that His Word will not return void. When you pray the Word of God, you're praying the perfect will of God. Right? So He watches over that. Man, I'm telling you, it's just exciting to hear it. Someone prayed Psalms 91, protection, last night. I've been trying to learn Psalms 1, which he so eloquently memorized. I got three verses down. I'd be afraid to try to say it right now to you. So hide the Word of God in your heart. Man, I'll tell you. And let me tell you, it's easier for you guys than it is for those sitting on this other side of the church. It's easier when you're young to hide the Word of God in your heart. But if you'll hide it when you're young, when you get old, it'll be there. So many of the verses that I know, my junior Sunday school teacher, when I was 9 years old, made me memorize Bible verses. God bless her heart. I thought she was sort of mean at the time. But man, she hid the Word of God in my heart. And it comes out now when I'm preaching. It comes out in everyday life. It comes out when I'm driving my truck and, you know, someone does something. I don't curse. I begin to speak the name of Jesus. That's the honest to goodness truth. Because it's there. What a blessing. Amen. You can turn to, glad to have our son here. What's it? What? Yeah, that's good. Glad to have our son here, Drew. Most of you know him. When we started this church as a satellite church, Drew was a big part of it. He was 14 years old, and he was our sound man and our video guy. He did it all. And it was so interesting because every week we would have meetings where all the guys would come in that was starting satellite churches, and they would talk about sound problems, and they'd talk about their media problems, and they'd come to me and they'd say, are you having any problems? And I said, no, we got Drew. I don't have any problems. Drew might be having some problems, but I don't have any problems. And man, he just handled it, and it was the anointing of God upon his life. And we're so grateful. And with that, I would say, get your kids involved in church. Get your kids involved with church. Just don't be an attender. Do something. Own it. Brooklyn told me yesterday, she looked at me and she said, we love going to your church. I said, it ain't my church, it's your church. And that's what it is. Don't call it my church. It's not my church, it's your church. It's God's church. It's our church. Let's take some ownership. It's what God has given us. Bless the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 13. Wow.
And I just thank God for my kids, and I thank God for the direction that He's shown me, and I just praise Him for who He is.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. And the neat thing about that is what He does for one, He'll do for all.
That's right.
Amen. 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 Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writes, and do this, knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Father God, we thank you for the anointing that's upon the word. Lord, you said that the word is alive, it's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides the soul, the spirit and marrow, Father. We're asking you today, Father, take this word and drive it deep into our heart. Father, I pray, Lord, that the praise has broke up the ground of our heart so that we can receive the word of the living God today. Father, I have one voice, but the Spirit of God is able to take His voice and to speak to each person individually. Lord, let this not be about a man, but let it be about the Spirit of God. Let us gain of the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. Let your will be done in Bridge of Hope as it is in heaven this very moment. Have your way. We yield ourselves to you. We yield our egos, Father. We yield everything about us. We yield it to you. You are wonderful. Father, we lift up the name of Jesus. Have your way. Draw every person closer to you today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Title of this sermon is It's High Time. The very first thing he says, and do this knowing the time. Do you realize that knowledge requires action, right? The more you know, the more you're called to do things. How many knows when that little check engine light comes on in your vehicle, you better go see a mechanic, right? Knowledge requires action. If you have pain that hits the middle of your chest and radiates down your arm, go to ER, right? Why? Because knowledge requires action. When you have knowledge, it's probably going to drive you to do something. The more you know, the more you're accountable to do. God gives you wisdom. God gives you knowledge. You see a sign that says bridge is out. Don't keep going down that road. Aren't you amazed at the cities that's flooding and you still see the cars? This car went around the sign and now it's 3 miles down in the river. Right? Why? Somebody had the knowledge, but they didn't take action. Or they took the wrong action. Knowledge requires action. Do this, knowing the time. Do this. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Paul writes, do this, knowing the time. Do what, Paul? What are you telling us we need to do? He goes on. He's extremely specific in this portion. And do this, knowing the time, that it's high time. It's not tea time. It's not Miller time. It's definitely not Miller time. It's not vacation time. It's high time. It's high time for the church to wake up. Yes. Number two. Pull up that. Number two. 1960. A very good year is what some of you are thinking. My wife is thinking that. 1960. What's that have to do with this sermon? 1960 years ago, Paul writes, do this, knowing the time. It's high time to wake out of sleep. 1960 years ago, Paul wrote that. It was written in 56 AD, about 25 years after Jesus died for our sins. Paul writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Don't think it's a man. It's the Holy Ghost that wrote it. Some of you may think, well, Paul sort of blew it, didn't he? No, sir, he didn't. You see, as you read the Scriptures, you read the knowledge of the Holy Ghost through Paul's writing. Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost, he gets it right. He gets it right. He gets it right. It's timely. It's right. It's right. Do this and it works out. But he missed this one. No, he didn't. But he wrote it with such enthusiasm. He says, come on, we got to wake up. Now, 1960 years later, where do you think we're at? We have not woken up. We're still asleep. Who am I speaking of? I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about the church. That we have been asleep for too long. Paul writes almost 2,000 years ago, we need to wake up. And what do? We sleep. We better wake up. There's a time coming when you better be awake. You're going to miss something. In the 1960s, they took prayer out of the school and the church was asleep. 1973, they passed a law saying abortion is okay and the church was asleep. A year ago, 2015, they declare in America that it's all right for homosexuals to marry. They changed everything about America. They changed everything about our moral base. And what happened? The church is still sleeping. And today, a week ago, the president signed something that says we got to let men go into girls' bathrooms. Such profane things happening in America. Are we going to sleep through this one too? Are we going to wake up and finally declare, thus saith the Lord, there is a right way, there is a wrong way, and we're on the rail right. We better wake up. Paul said, it's high time. Now, I don't know about you, but that reminds me of my mama when she got mad at me. She would say stuff like, listen, son, it's high time you do it right. And I knew when mama said stuff like that, I was probably getting ready to get a beating. And then my lecture. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 through 11 says, now concerning the times and the seasons, brother, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you're not in the darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you all are children of light, children of the day. We're not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath. Read that again. For God has not destined us for wrath. The tribulation, saints, is the wrath of God. God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. It's high time to awake. Jesus is 1,960 years closer to coming today than he was when the Holy Spirit penned that. We are close. You don't have to be a rocket scientist today to know that there is a stirring in the heavenlies. I believe that Jesus is coming back for his bride. I believe it with all my heart. Our part, I don't worry about his part. He takes care of business. Our part, are we ready to meet him? He's not coming back for the lukewarm. He's not coming back for the cold. He's coming back for those who love him, who are clothed in his righteousness, who resemble him. He's coming back for a bride that's spotless, a virgin bride. That's what that means. A virgin bride. Some of you just got worried when I said that. Let me just tell you, we're virgins once we accept Jesus. Our sins are washed away. Right? We stand anew and afresh. Old things are washed away. All things are new. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not because of what we have done, but because the blood of Jesus washes us. No fear here. You get it? No fear here. Should be no fear in the heart of the believer. Only excitement. Because our Jesus is coming back. I don't know about you, but sometimes life's just hard. Seriously. Sometimes it's just hard to keep going, isn't it? If you don't think it is, you probably don't watch the news. God bless your heart. I can only watch it in small amounts. If I watch the news too much, I get depressed. My eyes come off of Jesus and they begin to focus on what's happening in this world. A little dab of doomy with that one. But I want to tell you, He's still in charge. He's still in control. Can I say one more thing? We're still on His timetable. We're still on the timetable that Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, saying it's about time. 1960 years later, I just want to proclaim to you, we're still on God's time. God is coming back. And I plan on being with Him. I don't know about you, but I plan on being there. Paul's saying this. He said, if you're not saved, it's time to get saved. And if you are saved, it's time to act like you're saved. That's what he's really saying in this scripture. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, act saved. No, you didn't hear me, because let me tell you, the body of Christ, we need to hear this message. We need to hear the message one more time of holiness in Jesus Christ. We need to hear the message that there is a difference between the way the world lives and the way the church lives. Today, honestly, very small difference. But God is coming back for a people that live differently, that are called out from among them, that live separate, holy, which means separated lives. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Without holiness, no man will see God. What do you think we're going to do when we get in those skies? We're going to be looking Jesus face to face. If you are not holy, you're not going to be in those skies. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time, 2 Corinthians 6:2 says. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 22, he says this: to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither hot or cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich. I've acquired wealth. Do not need a thing. Okay, today the church would say, I'm prosperous because of your anointed. Because you have made me prosperous. But you did not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. Now listen to verse 20. We all think this is a salvation verse. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and I'll eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on His throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. church of Laodicea. It's the last church mentioned. So you think that's significant? Yes, I absolutely do. See, I believe that the churches are, that he writes about. He writes about seven churches. And I believe that they are the church of the time. The last church, I believe, is the church of the last days. I believe that we are the church of the Laodiceans. Guys, those of you that have been saved for a number of years, especially Pentecost, you remember our first, you remember when we first started? It was nothing like it is today, is it? It was nothing like this. We sat on old hard benches. Some of us met in churches that had dirt floors. Most towns did not welcome the Pentecostal church to town. They thought we were freaks. They thought we were demonic. They didn't want any part of us. And I'm not just talking about the Pentecostal church. This scripture is not written to the Assemblies of God. It's not written to the Baptists. It's not written to the Church of Christ. It's not written to the Presbyterians. It's written to the body of Christ. The kingdom. The church of the kingdom. Collectively, we are prosperous. Money offers you everything that God offers you. See, he says, money says, if you'll just get enough money, you'll have peace of mind. You can buy your security. You can buy your happiness if you've got enough money. See, money will supply everything you need. If you're sick, you'll find the best doctors if you got enough money. You get in trouble, you just hire the best lawyer if you got enough money. Crooked enough, they'll get you out. But it's not the same. It's not even close to the same. But how many times do we buy the lie of the devil? How many times do we fall for the fake instead of the genuine? It looks like gold, but it's not gold. It's worthless. Satan is the great counterfeiter. He has nothing to offer you but destruction. But he will cover it up and make it look good. But you get into it and you find it ain't so good. How many people with great riches try everything else? They're into drugs. They're into alcohol. They're into all kinds of relationships. You know why? Because they're miserable. Because they bought a lie. And they did not, Solomon, exactly. And they found out that the lie that they bought into, it doesn't bring me happiness. There is no peace of mind. You cannot have peace on this earth until the King of Peace comes in your heart. What you're looking for is in one person, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. He's the one that satisfies your soul. But how many of us spend our energy looking elsewhere? That's the church of Laodicea. That's the church of Jesus coming. We are the church of Laodicea. Paul is writing, it's high time to wake up. Not just on the morality things that's happening in America, but on the spiritual things. How we can say we love God, but we hate each other. John wrote and he said, you're fooling yourself. Your whole life is a lie if you say you love God, but you hate your brothers. Let's get real, can we? It's high time to come out of the slumber. It's high time to come out of this deception and let the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible says that no man really knows their heart, but God does. You can fool yourself. And you can fool me. You can dress up and you can say the right words and you can fool me. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to fool God. God's going to look at you and He doesn't look on the outside. He looks straight to that heart. Let's make sure our heart is right with God. It's high time. What if Jesus comes back this afternoon? Say, oh, come on, preacher. Don't try those fear tactics. I'm not trying to scare you. See, I don't think for the child of God, that's not scary. You can have my house, by the way. You can have it. Drive my car. I don't even care if you use my bank account. Because I ain't going to need it. My riches are in glory. And I'm going home. See, that just doesn't bring me fear. I'm not trying to scare you at all. See, to me, when I talk about the coming of Jesus, it doesn't scare me. It excites me. Amen. I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to be at peace, total peace with the Prince of Peace. Paul says there's two ways of identifying. There's two identifying marks of the believer. And it's not either or. Listen to me, Pentecostals. It's not either or. It's both. Now, this is where I draw the line with the old Pentecostal church. We were big on preaching legalism. You got to do this. You got to look this way. You got to do this. You got to do this. But we didn't preach righteousness. We didn't preach about the things you got to do. We preached the do nots, but we didn't preach the do's. Right? And he says there are two things, two identifying marks for the believer. One is they cast off the works of darkness. Pentecostal church 50 years ago handled that one pretty good. They preached that a lot. Colossians 1, 12 and 13 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, as Jesus is in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. There's a verse that says, once you were in darkness, but now you're in the light. There's another verse that says, you wasn't in darkness, you was the darkness. You were the people that your mama or somebody else's mama says, don't play with those kids. That was Brian Goff. He was the kid that we all said, stay away from that little boy. And that was me. And that was you. We wasn't in the darkness. We were the darkness. When we walked in a room, darkness walked in. We enjoyed the things of the darkness. Sin is done at night mostly. People don't want people to see them do their evil acts, so they do it in the darkness. But now we're not in the darkness, and we are not the darkness. We are the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And later on, He said, you now are the light of the world. Don't hide your light. Don't put it under a bushel. Let it shine. We are the light. So walk as children of the light. What does that mean? Walk in a renewed mind. Don't have evil in your mind continually. The darkness, you guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? Can you remember that? Can you remember the darkness that was over your mind before you met Jesus? I was pretty good, so It was there. It was there for every one of us. We've got to cast off the works of the darkness. But the second thing is, but put on the armor of light. Yes. Ephesians 5:8. You were once darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Now, I don't like to do this, but I felt very impressed of the Holy Spirit to give you a list of the works of the flesh. In Galatians 5:19, the very same author, Paul in the Holy Ghost, writes this. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication. Some of these words we don't use much today. So I wrote the Greek word down. Fornication, porneia. I wonder what word we might get from that today. Look at it. I hope it makes you uncomfortable. Porn. Two-thirds of all men have a problem with this, statistically. Does that make you a little uncomfortable? Well, this should. Ricky, me, and John. These two guys are perverts, evidently. Sorry, fellas. I love you both. Two-thirds. Now, hopefully that's not true in the church. But I got news for you. It's not far off. It's not far off. Do you know that one-third of all the hits on pornographic sites are now from women? Statistically, they study this stuff. That used to not be. What's happening? The world's getting darker. The world's getting darker. You ever been in a cave? You ever been in such darkness that you put your hand up and you know that hand's right there in front of your face, but you can't see a thing? That's darkness. That's the way the world's getting. And you can take a cigarette lighter in that cave and flick your Bic, and all of a sudden the whole cave becomes illuminated by one little bitty light. Are you that light in Henry County? You see what I'm saying? We're in a dark world. It doesn't take a whole lot of light to shine. Some people, all they can do is gripe about their job. And you know what I hear sometimes? I'm the only Christian there. Well, God bless your heart. Flick your Bic. Can we? Do you think possibly that God has got you there for a reason other than you? Maybe you are the light that those people need to see. But if you are acting like them, they are not going to see the light of Jesus. You know what they'll see then? They'll see religion, which this town is eat up with. Something like this happens. Well, I know you go to church, but are you going to go get drunk with me on Friday night? I'll be there. It's Miller time. Something just happened to your light. God is calling us out of darkness. Christians, we don't hear messages like this much anymore. People want to argue with you about what's right. Well, what's wrong with smoking a little pot? Well, I don't know. You try lighting a joint up and telling somebody about Jesus. See how it goes for you. You say, Pastor, why are you talking about that for? Because I want you to know something. There's a lot of potheads in this church. There's a lot of sipping saints. So don't condemn me. I'm not. You're going to hell, but no. You're not going to win anyone to Christ. And isn't that more important than how it makes you feel? And right now I know you feel pretty uncomfortable. Uncleanness, lewdness, that's public indecency. Most people didn't know that was there. Idolatry, sorcery, Sorcery is pharmakia. What do you think we get a word from the word pharmakia? Pharmacy? A place where you get drugs legally? There's two words that they interchange for this pharmakia. The two words are sorcery and witchcraft. If you are popping pills, if you are doing drugs, you are listed in Galatians chapter 5. I know we're uncomfortable right now. I know in my spirit I hear you saying, would you please move on? No, I will not. Not until the Holy Spirit allows me to. Guys, I don't care if I make you happy. I want to see you in heaven. That's my goal. I want to see you in heaven. Not only do I want to see you in heaven, I want to see your life prosperous in Jesus. I believe that the good life is not the life that the world tells us it is. The good life is the clean life. The life where one man marries one woman and they live together in a cleanness in their relationship. They're not smoking pot and drinking beer every night. They're not gambling their check away. My grandfather produced 15 children, and he was an alcoholic and he was a gambler. One day he gambled his whole check away and he went home without his paycheck. You can't raise that many kids without a paycheck, especially in this day. I think at that time he had 8 children living at home. My grandmother, who was about 5'3" and weighed about 105 pounds, went down to where they knew that he was gambling. And she looked those guys in the eyes and she said, I've got to have his check. What you do with him is your business, but I'm here to get his check back. And those men gave it to her. They knew the power of one 5'3", 105 pound woman. They didn't stand a chance, I'm going to tell you. It's a terrible story to tell my grandpa. Have we been there, done that? Bought the t-shirt? I read your testimonies. I know we have. The drugs are going to take you someplace where you don't want to go. It's going to open up something in the darkness that you do not want. It's not just getting high. There's a spiritual side to this. You are opening yourself up to the devil. To become somebody led by him. It does not lead in a good place. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to wise you up. Knowing this. Remember my first point? Knowledge requires action. The more you know, the better you will live. He goes on. Aren't we happy? Hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath. Got an anger problem? Selfish ambition. You got an ambition problem. Dissension. What is that? That's division in the church. We're getting pretty close. Heresy. What's that? It's divisive teaching in the church. Envy. Murder. Drunkenness. Relevies. And the like, reveries, and the like. In other words, this list is not complete. There's more, but I just don't have time to list it all. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things, now these are not my words, these are words from the Holy Ghost, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What are you going to do with the words from the Holy Ghost? Put on, take off. Every person in this room I'm not preaching to one or two people in this room. I'm preaching to every person in this room. I'm preaching to Brother Bud and Sister Sue as much as I'm preaching to anybody. You may think those two people have arrived. I sort of think that too. But the Holy Ghost doesn't. The Holy Ghost says there are no perfect people. They've got to listen as much as you do. Put on, put off. There are things in your life that you need to get rid of. Are you listening to me? There are things you need to get rid of. And there are things you need to walk in. Walk closer to the Lord. The last verse, he says this, verse 14. Most of us skip the first line. He says, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yoo-hoo! I like that line myself. But most of us, being negative people, skip right to the next one and make no provision for the flesh. Don't make it easy to sin. Get your computer out of your bedroom. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. You put your computer where everybody can see it. Men, don't you get on the computer when your wife is away. If you got a problem with this nonsense, you make yourself accountable to her. You can make yourself accountable to me. You can come to me, or you can come to another brother or sister in this church. Ladies, don't come to me. You go to my wife, you go to some sister in the Lord. And say, Pastor, I've got a bit of a problem with this. Well, you low, dirty dog. Guys, can I tell you this? Ministers are leaving the pulpit because they got a problem with this. This is not a problem for poor people or uneducated people or ungodly people. This porn thing, it's a problem for everybody. It's hitting people of all educational levels, all financial levels, and all spiritual levels. The Bible says you be careful when you think you can stand. You be careful if your mind is saying something like this, well, I don't have that problem. I don't want to do that. You just be careful. You be careful. Satan's a trickery devil. Don't make provision. Don't give the devil a foothold, is what Ephesians says. What's that mean? Don't crack the door open at all. You see, most of us, what's the big deal about pot? It leads to bigger things. What's the problem about looking at a little pornography? It warps your thinking. Young people that are not married, it will distort reality. You will go to your marriage bed thinking and expecting something from your wife that she will not give you. I know that's plain, that's raw. It warps us. It warps us. Our minds get warped by the things of the devil. Make no provision for the flesh. You determine in yourself, I'm not put any evil thing before my eyes, is what David said. I will not speak untruth. If I lie to you, I'll correct it. If I cheat you, I'll correct it. Zacchaeus said that when he met Jesus. Make no provision for the flesh. But don't miss the first part of that verse. Put on Jesus. Every day. I don't think he's saying, get saved one time. And that's the Jesus that you need. I think he's saying every day when you wake up, put on Jesus. Put him on. Let him lead and guide every step that you take that day. Say, Father, I want your will more than anything. Make Jesus large in your life. You see, when Jesus becomes real, when He's not just up there in the sky somewhere, that's one thing. But when you think about Jesus living with me, walking with me, holding me accountable, He's right next to me. He's actually in me. All of a sudden, it becomes real. I don't want to mess up. I want to be pleasing in His sight. Put on Jesus. Make no provision for the flesh. Say, you sound like a broken record. It's high time. You get me? Do you get this message of Paul? Almost 2,000 years ago, he's writing something we're still dealing with. In case you hadn't noticed, it hadn't got better and better and better. We got worse, worse, and worse. And now we're 2,000 years closer to Jesus splitting those skies open. You know, when we bury somebody, we bury their head on the west end. Did you know that? We put their head at the west so that they're looking east. Do you know why we do that? Because America was founded in Christianity. And the Word of God says that He's going to split the eastern sky. And even the way we bury our dead is based on the Scriptures. This country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't believe the lie of the devil. There is such distortion in our world today. This nation is blessed and is prosperous because of our beginning. When my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. The world's not going to improve, but the church better. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Amen. He's coming. I hope you hear me. Jesus is coming. I believe I'm going to see the coming of Jesus. I believe it with all my heart. I believe I'm going to see the coming of Jesus. We were putting up sheetrock the other day, and we wasn't doing a really good job of it. Yeah. Well, two screws ought to hold that, don't you think? Yeah, let's go. Let's get the next piece. We didn't hit the studs all the time. Can I just say that? And Terry Wade come in and he said, you know, some of that's going to crack. And I said, brother, we ain't planning on being here a long time. We believe Jesus is coming. We just need this stuff to hold for a few more years and we're out of this place. And maybe a few more days. And maybe a few more minutes. I'm ready. Are you ready? Amen. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. I know that I have made you uncomfortable. And hear the words of a pastor that loves you. I don't care. I hope that the Holy Ghost has made you uncomfortable today. It's not my intention to ever hurt you or bring fear in your life. But it is my intention to bring you to a point of decision today. I told the church Wednesday night when I stood at the casket of my mother, I looked at her and I said, Mom, I will see you again. I promise you, I will see you again. You know what I was doing? I was sealing in my heart that I will be ready for the coming of the Lord. I plan on going to heaven. My heart is fixed on making heaven my home. If you're here today and you're not ready to meet Jesus, and the Spirit of God has got your heart thumping to where you think it's going to jump out of your chest, that's the conviction of the Holy Ghost. It's not condemnation. Listen to the Spirit of God. I will not embarrass you, I promise you, but with just an uplifted hand, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, with an uplifted hand, I want to lead you to know Jesus. Are you here today and you'd say, I need to know Him. I'm afraid that I'm not exactly right. I need to know Him. Anyone here with an uplifted hand? I want you to know you are making a decision right now. You are saying one of two things. You are saying, Pastor, I'm ready to meet Jesus. Or else you're saying, I'm not going to give my heart to Jesus. Your indecisiveness is making a decision. Do you understand that? Do you understand? As a person under the sound of my voice, I am accountable to you. So I just want us to be clear. I want us to be perfectly clear. You are making a decision. If you're not right with God, you're making a decision that says, I will not bow my knee to the Lord at this point. Saints, there needs to be some repenting in this place. You and I both know it. You felt it as well as I felt it. The Holy Spirit did some preaching in this place today. He may have used my voice, but I knew it was Him. The Holy Spirit was talking to us saints, and He was saying, make no provision for the flesh, and you have been making provision for your flesh. With an uplifted hand, it's a sign of repentance, not to me, but to the Holy Ghost. Amen. I see that hand. You're saying, Jesus, forgive me. Amen. I see those hands. See those hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless your sincerity. Jesus, I pray for this congregation. First of all, I thank you for bringing them here. I thank you, Lord, that I am allowed to pastor these people. What an honor and what a joy. I thank you that the Holy Ghost has spoke to us today and has encouraged us to live a holy life. I thank you, Lord, that that's not a negative message. That's a positive message. You care enough to work some things out of our hearts. And we thank you. Lord, you saw every uplifted hand, and behind every uplifted hand was a heart, was a person that's repentive. And I'm asking that the Holy Spirit would take these things out of their life. Father, you said a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. Today, as we are repenting at this moment, I pray, Lord, that every person under the sound of my voice gets back up and walks back into that righteousness, walks back into the light of the gospel of Christ. Father, we're not preaching condemnation. We're preaching life and fullness of life in Jesus, and a bride that's spotless. So Jesus, I thank you for your redemptive work in this body. Forgive us of our sins. Make us pure and spotless in your sight. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you folks. Pastor Ray, would you come? End this with a blessing.